Number 17A.
Well, the very first picture or symbolism which we get how to wed the Word to the Christ is to be born anew from Spirit. So that is giving us an indication that we are not starting with the condemnation of mortals to till the ground, but just the other way around, that we start out from Spirit and see that the Spirit blows where it listens, and that therefore we must let the Christ Spirit operate the way the Christ Spirit wants to operate and not interfere with it. So that only in that way, he says, you can see the kingdom of heaven. Only in that way we can see really the realm of ideas. So this is a great point, to give birth to ourselves from God, just as we have seen in the first part, that God is the creator of man. Now we see that we have to take the right attitude, the right standpoint, and really go out from from Spirit and give birth to it. You know that this is one of the great point that John Dolly was bringing out constantly. This was one of his war cries, namely the scientific obstetrics, where the scientific obstetrics starts right with that sense that teacher and student really should also be familiar with the obstetrics taught by this science, not just by any emotional sense. And what is the standpoint we take? Mrs. Eddy says, to attend properly the birth of the new child or divine idea, you should so detach mortal thought from its material conceptions that the birth will be natural and safe. That's the beginning of the paragraph, which you know very well. And there is a nice booklet on scientific obstetrics, which shows that, first of all, we have to free ourselves from all material conceptions, so that only the spiritual idea can take place within us and go out from the one Spirit. To see, naturally, then when we know what the one Spirit is, and we know the category of the synonymous term Spirit, and that it unfolds in the word order, we can easily go through that word order and see that we can give birth to our true manhood. We go on and see that John gives another little step in order to show how we come from the Word to the Christ, and he gives this important sentence here where he says, "And no man has ascended up to heaven," so no man has ascended up to heaven, "but he that came down from heaven, even who? The Son of Man, which is in heaven." Well, this is quite a different standpoint than similar statements that we have in Jacob's ladder. There it was different. There he could see the angels of God ascending and then descending. There were the angels, not the Son of Man. Even when we start out with John, we have in the first part, I haven't touched on it, but you remember that in the first part under love, when he shows there again that standpoint of Jacob, because it's in the Word where he has said, "I shall see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Can you see, you must compare those two statements in John, because they are two very different standpoints, though they seem to indicate both the same subject, namely the ascending and descending, and the ascending and descending, or the descending and ascending, or the descending and ascending. So those two different points have to be clearly seen. When he shows that we first have to ascend, then he talks about the angels' thoughts. If within ourselves we begin to lift up our thought away above the material and lift it up and see, no, the material is not reality, there is another reality, and our thoughts, our angels are telling us that there is a bigger reality, a reality of spirit, then our angels are ascending. And then when they ascend, we know that we reach heaven, then they touch the Christ and begin to descend. And the higher altitude of consciousness which we have begins to operate within us. They descend. But here in the Christ, where he wants to show you have to go further than the Word. The Word is the ascending sense, like the days of creation is an ascending sense. Here in the Christ, so here when he wants to show that we have to couple the Word with the Christ and take the Christ attitude, and the Christ attitude is always from God, this descending, the Christ is the message from God to man, he gives a different picture. He no more talks about the angels, he talks now about the Son of Man, about the Son of Man who is in heaven, whereas in the former statement of the angels, he shows that the angels come down to the Son of Man. So the Son of Man is down in the first statement. In the second one, which is in the Christ section, the Son of Man is in heaven, which puts some questions. What is the Son of Man? Up to now, he has talked in the first part about the Son of God. Now he talks about the Son of Man. What is the difference between the Son of God and the Son of Man? Well, Mrs. Eddy explains that in various statements, I just give you two. In one statement she says, the human manifestation of the Son of God was called the Son of Man. So the Son of God as the divine manifestation, and it is brought down really to the human plane, becomes the Son of Man. Because the Son of God, that is in God and is the Christ, when translated to the human plane, is that Son which we use, which we handle in order to handle our mortality. Then it is the Son of Man. Or another passage which may put some light on it. She said, after Jesus had fulfilled his mission in the flesh, his mission in the flesh as the Son of Man. So the moment you have the Son of God, which is truth, the Son of God, the moment that Son of God is translated to the human level and is demonstrated on the human level, it is called the Son of Man. So it is really that which we are when we are dealing with a problem and solving a problem, which is on the human plane, then we demonstrate the Son of Man. So I want to go further in that statement because it's very good. It says, after Jesus had fulfilled his mission in the flesh as the Son of Man, he arose to the fullness of his stature in Christ, the eternal Son of God, that never suffered and never died. So here you have this distinction within one sentence, what is the Son of Man and what is the Son of God. The Son of God never was crucified, the Son of God never suffered, but the Son of Man was taking the Son of God, the Christ truth, and was using it in the problem, and it showed itself forth on the human plane as healing, as suffering as a transitionary state in order to bring forth the healing. So here we are going back to this statement that he says, no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. So coming down from heaven is the first motion. Only if he comes down from heaven, he can ascend. And you see, whereas Jacob said, only if my angels ascend, then they can come down and descend. Now, if we take the two translations that Mrs. Eddy gives in the textbook, we see this statement that he gives here, namely that she first gives the descending way. In the first translation, you have God, then man, and then idea. You know that from the textbook of page 115, that Mrs. Eddy gives the same aspect John gives, namely that the Christ is the divine manifestation of God that comes down, and it shows first that in the first translation what God is through the Christ order, then comes man, translates itself to the point of man, and there you have man as the spiritual man, as the individualized man, and then as idea, and that idea is always within mind, so that translation never leaves the divine principle that translates itself to the point of idea. Whereas then the outcome of it is the second translation, the translation of mortal mind, that it brings an ascension. It brings that ascension of the Son of Man now, because there we can see that the first degree gives way to the second degree, and the second degree gives way to the third degree. And when it comes to the third degree, really, then the Son of Man is demonstrated. That Son of Man that was always in heaven is demonstrated. So in the third degree, mortal mind disappears, and man in God's image and likeness appears. So it's a demonstration of the Son of Man that is the outcome of those two translations. Now, those two translations are of greatest importance. Again, let's think back at the time when we did not know perhaps the teaching of John Dorley, when we were just reading the textbook and very earnestly were reading it, and where we were perhaps asking ourselves, now, what do I have to do in order to get out of mortality, out of the first degree? What do I have to do so that I reach really the status of the Son of Man? What do I have to do? And not knowing better, one felt those 3 degrees were giving us a very good method. That it says, yes, you see, you know yourself as a mortal with all those qualities of the mortal, of evil beliefs, as you have them on that page. Evil beliefs, depravity, passion, appetite, fear, depraved will, and so on, pride. All these things which we felt we should overcome, which should not be part of the dignity of man, which we should really get rid of. And we were thinking, how can we get rid of? And we're so to say happy and glad that Mrs. Eddy would say, well, you get rid of if you supplant them with the second degree, that where you see, well, you have to have thought standing spiritually upward from materiality. Spiritually upward, that upward is the second degree, evil beliefs disappearing, how wonderful. Now I know the method how evil beliefs are disappearing, and instead of this depravity, I get the moral qualities of humanity, honesty, affection, compassion, hope, faith, meekness, temperance, all the qualities which one longed to have, and which feel, yes, if I can express these, I'm a better man, I approach nearer to the true man, and finally, perhaps, if I train myself well in the second degree, that then somehow, sometime, the idea will open to the third degree, and that third degree was wonderful, it was a degree of understanding, we all wanted to have understanding, we longed for understanding. So understanding what? Well, all those beautiful spiritual qualities of wisdom, purity, of spiritual understanding, of honesty, or spiritual power, love, health, holiness. Yes, that is what we want. When you think back, didn't you also have that kind of feeling as I had, which I presented now? I remember I was very happy to find at least some kind of a rule in the textbook that would show me how to get rid of the mortal, not knowing that this is a false method. I thought it was a right method. Just as one was thinking, as the condemnation of the mortal, this is left out, what we're thinking is to improve materiality by thought tending spiritual upward so as to destroy materiality. It's the same thing. Not knowing that this is a wrong rule. And how many know that it is a wrong rule? Because the second translation, which ends with understanding, is the outcome of the first translation. It isn't a translation that stands by itself. We cannot separate the first translation from the second translation. They go on parallel, side by side, spontaneously, side by side. But in consciousness, we start with the first translation. And if we start with the first translation and entertain really that translation from God to man as idea, that does the trick. That does what? That begins to analyze what is wrong. That begins to uncover really what should be what we should get rid of, so that finally we arrive, the manifestation of the third degree of understanding. And understanding is always understanding of the spiritual, and understanding of the spiritual does away with our belief in the material. So in the third degree, mortal mind disappears. And man, in God's image and likeness, appears. So this is something that we should remember and remember and remember, that we really use the right rules and not the wrong rules. Because the wrong rules seem to be much more normal, seem to be much more adapted to our human way of thinking. Our human way of thinking is coined by the religious tradition. Those religious traditions say to us, you are a bad boy, you are a sinner, and you better pull up your socks and try to be a good guy and good boy so that we can be happy with you and that you behave well. So you have to see that you use your best qualities that you have, the qualities of the second degree, in order to overcome the first degree, and then hopefully, we don't know, but hopefully God will then lift you up to the third degree. How? We didn't know. Well, now we know that this is wrong. That it is wrong. But we have to start as John tells us now in the Christ. In the Christ he says, nothing ever ascends to heaven. There is no translation of mortal mind coming up to the third degree. Except first we come down from heaven, descending from God, from the divine principle. How can you descend? You only can descend if you know that the Son of Man is already in heaven. Therefore, John goes right on and says, how can you be in heaven? See, again, if we don't ask questions, we just take these statements, and they are true statements, namely that statement that no man has ascended except he that descended, the Son of Man who is in heaven. This is a wonderful picture. It doesn't mean a thing to us because we don't know what it means, ascending and descending, what the Son of Man is, so, who is in heaven. How can we figure out the man who is in heaven? Where is heaven, I wonder? Is it up on cloud nine, or where is it? Where is up when it's midnight, and where is up when it's midday? Just the opposite way. John says, look here, I tell you how to lift up the Son of Man into heaven. He gives us the rule, and he said, just as Moses has lifted up the serpent, so we have to lift up the Son of Man. You know, Moses lifted up the serpent because so many Israelites in the wilderness were bitten by poisonous serpents and they died. And so Moses put up an iron serpent, a statue of a serpent, and said, look here, lift up your thought. The serpent can also be a wise idea, as Mrs. Eddy says. You have to translate that serpent that seems for the human mind poisonous. You have to translate it and see it as the idea of wisdom. And so ever, whenever you have been bitten by a poisonous serpent, just look up to that iron serpent. I think you have another term for the iron serpent. Or is that in the Bible? Anyway, it means lift up your thought above the material, just as he had said, the Son of Man is now in heaven. And so he said, how can you do it? And he gives it with that wonderful sense of the word in absolute Christian Science as life, truth, and love. And he says, you can lift up your sense. The Son of Man must be lifted up so as to have eternal life. So we have to see, we start out with that concept of man which is eternal, not with that man that is immortal and has to, through spiritual thought, be improved so as to become an immortal. He says, no, lift up your eye, you are already in heaven, your whole consciousness is already at the point of fulfillment, you just have to lift up the Son of Man, and then you have eternal life. There comes truth, and not to condemn the world, but to save the world. That is a new method against Moses. Moses had the Mosaic law of condemnation. Here, the Christ comes in and says, no, the Christ has come not to condemn the world, but to save the world. That's another elevated consciousness. We lift up that consciousness furthermore to the point of truth, that truth is here to save and not to condemn. And finally, the point of love, and it becomes manifest that the works are wrought in God. So that the works are wrought in God, that you didn't have to accomplish anything. You didn't have to rise up with spiritual thought above the material thing in order to improve it. Let God love work out his own works. So it gives, if you read it and translate it into synonymous terms, you begin to see that John is constantly playing on, constantly playing with the seven, with the four, with the three, whatever the situation was, he just took in the very thing that was necessary for a specific situation. Yes. So we had a second step, and you can see that it has already the touch of the Christ in it, showing really that we have to see that the Christ descends, that the very first thing that we have to do, not to ascend first, that's the Old Testament. The Old Testament, the condemnation of mortals, is the Old Testament to improve matter. The New Testament, the Christ aspect, is that the Christ, God, only sees its own manifestation as idea and never as something that is material or temporal or of the nature of sin, sickness, and death, that it is only a translation from God to the point of idea, so that the idea is always in heaven. The Son of Man is in heaven. Then it takes in a third aspect, which is the outcome of that Christ aspect, namely Christianity, where John the Baptist comes in again and says that John is baptizing with water. Again, baptizing with the word, with the letter, with arguments, with really with thoughts, with good thoughts. But he said, now that's not the real baptism. He said, the one who is coming will not baptize with water, not just giving good thoughts, but he will baptize with water and the Spirit. And Mrs. Eddy explains baptism in these terms, that she says baptism is nothing else but the submergence into Spirit. Not the submergence into Jordan water or any other water, but the submergence into Spirit. If our consciousness submerges into Spirit, or the purification by Spirit, she also calls baptism, purification by spirit. So John the Baptist said, I baptize with water, with good thoughts, but that is not enough. That dies out. And we know that John the Baptist very soon afterwards lost his head because he just couldn't go on to the Christ. It's an interesting phenomenon. He could visually see, as a visionary, he could see the coming of the Christ. He even could see the nature of that Christ, but he was never able to identify himself with that Christ. He said, I just can't do it. I just feel I am not able to do it. So he was very honest and said, therefore, Jesus, will increase and I will decrease. It's a terrific statement that says, if we stick only to the word, we will decrease. We will not have gained something, but little by little that word will decrease, will disintegrate within ourselves, because it is cut out and cut away from the Christ activity. So we must be aware that we are really seeing that we are not happy just with studying the word, that we have lots of terms, that we speak and write and think just in thoughts and in isolated ideas without having really the Christ combined with it. The word alone doesn't do it. It will decrease. If we want the word of God to see increasing, then we have to see that we have to work with the Christ translation, that we have to see that everything comes from God, and consciously and earnestly see that nothing is going on except that which comes from the divine principle, which is life, truth, and love, and translates itself right down to every point of demonstration as the idea of mind, and that idea of mind never tolerates anything besides ideas. Therefore, never tolerates any belief in mortality or in materiality. So he shows here again why the Baptist must decrease, but especially because the Jesus must increase, because he weds the word to the Christ through the fourfold. Again, you have a little fourfold in it, you know. Can you see, he just can't get rid of the fourfold calculus. This is so innate in him that he, whatever he reasons out in the four. And mind you, if you do that study, you find suddenly that you do it also. That suddenly you find yourself that you are not more reasoning out things always in the seven, but suddenly you find you reason it always out in the four, in the calculus. It comes in quite naturally. So he says about Jesus the Christ, oh, he doesn't say anything.